First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
To the Ed Springston Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringston.com, where you can go for all the latest that we're involved in. Don't forget to join our email mailing list and our RSS feed while you're at those locations. And for you guys that are new to the show, call-in numbers as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you folks who are in the listening queue, it's always a pleasure to have you there. Just make sure you hit the number one on your dial pad. And for anybody wanting to join the live chat, just log on into the chat room. You can do that via Facebook, Twitter, whatever. So there's all kinds of options for you. Ed Martin will not be here tonight, so you're stuck with me solo. Yes, that's right. He had a business meeting that he had to go to tonight. If he joins us at all, it should be late in the program. And I don't expect him to. For anybody who don't know Martin, he actually does own his own business, and he has a lot of work and a lot of meetings. So you get to listen to me tonight or call in and talk about it, whatever's on your mind. I tell you, we have got to start, though, open mouth, insert foot. And I have to say that about myself. I tell you, it was really interesting. This whole NCAA tournament has been an interesting contrast. It really has. I never expected Kentucky to be in the Final Four, much less the final game. And last night I went on record, and I said that I believe Kentucky would win this game by 3. I was wrong. UConn is your new national champion. Kentucky is the runner-up. They lost 60-54. And, I tell you, I'm one of those people who always gripe about other people who complain about officiating. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to tell you that officiating cost Kentucky that game last night. What cost Kentucky that game last night was shooting about 50% from the free throw line. These guys need to learn how to shoot free throws. It's been a problem. It is a big problem for a lot of colleges these days. And I tell you, that was Kentucky's problem again last night. They did not hit their free throws. If they hit the free throws, they win the game. They missed 13 of them. UConn was 100% on their free throw shooting. That makes a big difference. That's 13 lost points there. It would have won by 7. You know, but when I talk about the officiating last night, I have to say this. This whole tournament, I have been thoroughly disgusted with the officiating in every game. It's like the officials throughout this whole NCAA tournament have decided that they are going to be the kingmakers. They are going to talk about who's going to win the game and who's not. And they've made some very, very bad calls, and last night was no exception. I do feel that the majority of bad calls last night went against Kentucky. They were bad calls against Kentucky. However, Kentucky, you know, like I said, they made their own destiny by missing free throws. So, you know, the missed calls didn't cost that game. But I wonder how many close games there were in this tournament that were lost because of missed calls, blown calls, bad calls by the officiating crews throughout the NCAA tournament. And I think that that's something the NCAA has to look at and really, really crack down and get this fixed, because there is just too many things that are wrong in a tournament of this nature. You know, but one thing never changes. One thing never changes, folks. And what doesn't change is that win or lose, people sometimes are extremely dumb. The UK crowd in Lexington is no different. My homeboys, I tell you, you know, if you win, you go out and you burn couches and tear up property. If you lose, you go out and you burn couches and tear up property. That seems to be a normal behavior now. And this is incredible to me. And I don't understand why people just feel like that is acceptable behavior in a civilized society. Within an hour of losing to UConn last night, angry Kentucky fans had already set at least 12 couches on fire. They lit 15 trash fires. At least 7 people were treated for injuries. Police had 2 people under arrest, and nobody had an estimate on how big the crowds were. You know, this is a problem that has to be addressed. Why is it that people think that it's okay to react that way? You know, in our chat room, our good friend Cyzerus is pointing out that we're being Europeanized because that's how the old world behaves. You're absolutely right. Go to a soccer match over in Europe and see how these folks behave before and after the game. It really is incredible. You know, I just don't understand it, why you have to react that way. And you know, this stuff does trickle down. I mean, we have to look at behavior. This isn't a behavior that was acceptable 20 years ago. You know, this is something that's really come along in the last 10, 12 years, that this kind of craziness has become acceptable, you know, and that's where the mainstream media loves to promote it. And in my opinion, they have something to do with this. You know, somebody lit a couch fire one time. It made mainstream media news, and everybody thought it was crazy, and there you go. Well, this school did it. They're no better than we are, so you start this whole thing. Who can out hood the latest hood? And that's exactly what's going on. I just don't get this. I just don't get this. And yes, you're right. Says there may be rumors of some alcohol involved. And I'm sure you're saying that tongue-in-cheek in the chat room. But yeah, there definitely was alcohol involved. Everybody had been drinking and partying all day around the campus, you know. So, I mean, there's definitely alcohol involved. But, you know, what do you do about that? What do you do about that? Public intoxication, do the police start carting people off as soon as they see them drinking all day before the game even starts? Do they let the crowd just be a crowd and do what they want to do? You know, I don't know where you draw the line at this, but I think when you get into this situation where you're destroying property and hurting people over a damn ball game, we've got a problem. I was as disappointed as any UK fan last night when they lost. I didn't go out and burn a couch. I didn't beat my wife or kids. I didn't kick the dog. I didn't put holes in the wall. But yes, I was upset. You know, that's nature. That's okay. you can be a fan and still have some kind of, respect. And that's just the way it is. And I just really don't get what this whole movement, if you will, is about. And here's another thing I don't get. We've been talking a lot about West End violence and everything else over the last couple of weeks. We're going to get even more of that tonight. But it's interesting here, too. Latest story coming out of The Courier today, or I'm sorry, this is a Wave 3 story. Wave3.com, you can go there for this story. But a PRP student, 18-year-old Shantara Willis, yes, a female student at PRP High School, got mad at her assistant principal and began to cuss him out. When one of the school resource officers came to take Willis into custody, she hit the resource officer in the face with a closed fist. So when the assistant principal tried to help that officer, he was punched in the face 5 times and kneed in the groin. So Willis is now being charged with assault, abuse of a teacher, and menacing. Well, here's a couple of things. You can make your own opinion about this, all right? But there's been a lot of laughter out there today because the assistant principal and his resource officer got their butt kicked by an 18-year-old girl. Well, here's the reality, folks. She's going to get the street cred we've been talking about. The DJ Young had mentioned, we spoke about that last night and everything else. And she's going to be this hood on the street. She's going to get her street creds. But if the assistant principal or the resource officer would have hit her back, what would have happened? She's 18 years old. She's a legal adult. They have the right to defend themselves. But if they would have attempted to hit this girl back or hit this girl back in any way, can you imagine what would have happened to them? Number one, they're going to portray this girl as being some sweet kid who for some reason went off, but she's really trying to get her life together. We're going to get the bogus end of that again. You know, and at the same time, if they would have hit this girl, it would be hitting a girl, a man hitting a woman. Is society ready to accept that? That's a question I really got. I'd love for you guys to call in and tell me what you think at 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. Is society willing to accept a man hitting a woman when a woman attacks a man like a man? She hit these guys with a closed fist like she was some kind of a badass. Would society be willing to accept that if a woman is going to put herself in that position, she should be treated like a man? See, I'm old school. Old school says you don't hit a woman, period. So I know why they got their asses beat. They're old school. At least that's what I believe. You know, but when we look at the big picture here, when a female thinks that she's got the right to attack a man like that and abuse or assault a man like that, especially an 18-year-old adult female who's still in high school, then I have to ask that question. She put herself in that position. Should they have hit her back? I don't know. But it's something that needs to be talked about. It's something that needs to be looked at. And we are going to make sure we do. Now, as we have been mentioning over the last several days, over the last week, really, Louisville Metro Police covering up, trying to tell us that there really weren't that many problems down at Waterfront Park. We now know all of that was a lie, that everything that happened 2 weeks ago was a normal course of behavior, so there's no issue there at all. We know this to be true. So Mayor Fisher, of course, last night decides to look as dumb as he really, really is, and he was looking for these so-called legal avenues to hold the parents accountable. Now, why am I bringing that up again now? Well, it's interesting because this girl who attacked the principal at PRP makes this an interesting case because Shantara Willis is 18 years old, so she's still a high school student, but she's 18 years old, committing a violent act like that. How does that fit into the equation? See, this is that gray area. Greg Fisher says, hold the parents accountable to what their children do. Well, this is an 18-year-old high school student who presumably is still a child living with a parent or a guardian somewhere, a school child, even though they're a legal adult, how would you hold that parent responsible? How could you hold that parent responsible? So I think that that's very interesting and something that has to really be looked at as well. And this is why I rag on Greg Fisher so much, because he doesn't have a clue. He doesn't have a clue. His whole thing in his speech, if you will, in a letter that he sent out yesterday, was one of the biggest jokes that I've ever seen. There was nothing in there that told us anything about a plan to correct this problem. Not one thing. And I bring that up again, because the only actions that he's even looked at, thought about, or is even attempting to try to portray, then we've got a situation here. Because the only thing he's talked about is increasing public safety presence. He wants to put more police at Waterfront Park and around-the-clock presence at the Big Fort Bridge. And he wants to make sure that this new police substation that they're building down here is going to be located right near the arena and 4th Street Live. All he's trying to do is protect the tax revenue, the entertainment district. Increased public safety does not stop the problems, doesn't do it in any way, shape, or form. He can increase the police anywhere he wants to. And you haven't fixed the problem, you haven't corrected the problem, you haven't answered the right questions at all. All you've done is move the problem to a new location. That's what we get. That's not a plan. That's not a plan. It's not a plan at all. Our good friend Cy Zeris, man, you're busy tonight. Our good friend Cy in the chat room. It's actually a good question, Cy. I got to hand it to you. He asked the question, if a kid can stay on the parents' insurance until age 26, then maybe they should consider raising the age of adulthood from the age of 18 to 26. you know, I personally wouldn't. I could see 21. I could see 21. See, that's all that incompatibility with all the stuff, Cy. That's all the incompatibility. When you're 18 years old, you're considered a legal adult and responsible for every action you take. You can go overseas and go to war and fight to kill somebody, but you can't have a beer. You can do all of those things and have a beer at 21. You know? So maybe 21 should be the real age for what we consider an adult. All right? He puts in there, oh, yes, you can have a beer. You just have to be discreet. Well, of course, I was no altar boy. I can promise you that. The point is, you can't go out and buy a beer at 18, but you can at 21. You can go to war at 18. Okay? That has always been one of the biggest back-and-forth arguments we do. You know, but I don't know about going to age 26. But I am curious about why in the world Greg Fisher can't do anything about these problems. The problem today at PRP High School is nothing new. That kind of stuff goes on every single day at these schools. It does. That is nothing new. And that's the problem. Elementary kids and middle school kids, those kids actually have more fights and stuff than anybody because they're learning it from their older siblings. And their parents aren't doing anything about it. But when you get in school, you're supposed to have some accountability. We had a zero tolerance policy, but we've talked about that so many times, it's unbelievable. Zero tolerance was never going to work because zero tolerance is subjective if you're connected, just like everything else in this world. If you're an elected political figure, you're connected. Your family is going to benefit. Ask Harry Reid. We'll talk about a lot of that, too, probably tomorrow night. But, you know, the point is that we have all of this stuff going on, and nobody is doing with it. Nobody is dealing with it at all. Greg Fisher thinks putting more police is going to do it. Greg Fisher thinks that adding 26 cameras at Waterfront Park that are going to include the Big Four Bridge and everything else before Thunder over Louisville is going to fix the problem. No, it's not. None of this is a fix. All this is a deterrent to get it away from 4th Street Live, Waterfront Park, and the KFC Yum Center. As long as it's two blocks away from there, they don't care about any of this. None. You know, we talk about accountability. Fisher wants to talk about they have to explore new methods to hold parents and guardians accountable through legal means. They're trying to find creative ways to make parents get involved and take responsibility. They want to include new enhancements to the city's curfew law. Folks, dumb as rocks. That's the truth. That's all you can say. These aren't answers. These aren't answers at all. Parents should be doing their job anyway, but so should the schools. Anymore, it's become so commonplace in your elementary and your middle schools that these little punk kids, they get in fights all the time and everything else. They're not going to be any better when they get in high school because nobody's holding them accountable in elementary or middle school. That's leadership. That's the schools themselves. Welcome to the JCPS. We talk about this so-called youth development. Greg Fisher never wanted to lose an opportunity to toot his own horn for something he's never done. Think of Jerry Abramson Part 2, folks. But at least Jerry Abramson wasn't boring in his delivery. I'll give him that. But, you know, he talks about how there's not a one-size-fits-all for our youth and young adults, key word here, young adults, who commit serious and violent acts. You know, they should be removed from the streets, but there's not a one-size-fits-all approach to juvenile delinquency and problems. Again, that sounds good on paper. And he actually inadvertently agreed with DJ Young. They, when you put these kids in lockup, in jail or detention centers, whatever, all you're doing is turn them into future adult criminals. That's true. That's true. But it's got to start at a much younger age. You can't wait until you get into middle school and high school. You've got to go into these elementary schools. You know, there was a guy one time here by the name of Ray Barker. I don't know if you guys remember him. You probably do. He was involved in the Judy Greene thing and everything else. But Ray Barker is known as Sir Friendly C. Back in the old days, when my children were small children, you know, Sir Friendly C would go around and he would rap at these elementary schools and stuff about Just Say No to Drugs and the DARE program. And Sir Friendly C and his ragtag guys were out there preaching to these kids, but it was something they could relate to then. And believe it or not, I believe it did make one heck of a difference. And a lot of kids, all kids, no. There's always going to be a bad element. But it did make a heck of a difference to some kids and kept them from doing things. So they took that serious. Ray is still known by so many people, it's unreal. He still runs into kids every day. I've had the opportunity to meet with Ray a time or two. And I've had the opportunity to be with him a couple of times. And you still have these young adults walking up to him that remember him from the Sir Friendly C days way back when they were in elementary school. And thank him. And thank him. That's pretty cool. But no, Greg Fisher wants to go out there and talk about the city's Safe and Healthy Neighborhoods Initiative. This joke of a program that he put out there after the triple homicide in the Parkland neighborhood back in 2012. He wants to put people directly on the street with mentors, churches, and young adults are going to help reduce crime. What's it called, folks, when you repeat the same thing over and over again without and expect different results? When you repeat the same behavior. You think we haven't had mentors out on the streets with our troubled youth? You think the churches haven't been out there preaching about everything they're doing for our troubled youth? Has crime went down? No. No, it hasn't. Because these preachers, these so-called reverends, they're getting paid. They're doing theirs. They're getting theirs. But the neighborhoods they're supposed to represent aren't. Every one of these street preachers surround himself with a couple of drug dealers and stuff like that and say, hey, we cleaned them up. No, you didn't. You're looking for money. This so-called city safe and healthy neighborhoods initiative is a joke. It's a joke. Attica Scott, another one that proves a joke. Right after all the violence, what did she do? She built a big old TV media crew with her, made a media event, press conference and release, and wanted to tell the whole world, go out and cut your neighbor's yard. That'll clean up the crime. It's a positive effect. You think Attica Scott doesn't know what the real problems in the West End are and what the real problems are even in her district, District 1? Of course she does. Do you think she cares? Nah, she's making more money now than she ever has as a part-time elected Metro Council rep. So it's about keeping that job. These are the problems that we've got. We're not doing anything. We're not using or utilizing our community centers the way they should be. We're not using any mentoring programs effectively at all. And unfortunately, these liberals are still saying the same things over and over and over again. It's all rhetoric. Now, don't get me wrong. Talk is good if you back it with real action. You know, when I talk about the definition of insanity, doing the same thing, repeating the behavior over and over and expecting a different result. The repeated behavior is the constituents continuing to elect these people over and over and over. That's it. And Cy, you've got a very good point. He's being very active in the chat room tonight. His opinion is that the more corrupt and wayward the adults in society become, the more chaotic the response of the youth in their transition, you know, going into adulthood, that's their teen years, that they will, you know, have a chaotic response. I agree. Adults have to lead the way through actions, not words. That's exactly where I'm going at with this mayor, with the liberal establishment, and the way that they do things in this town. This is a Democratic mafia. They always say the right words, but they never do anything to back it up. So what that does is that creates all this mass confusion for our kids. That creates all of these problems. You know, when kids are first born, folks, they are a sponge. Sponge. They soak up anything and everything around them that they can possibly get. And they learn. So it's up to us whether they learn positive things or negative things. And when our adult society can't make up their mind that they want to go around one day and act like an adult, and then the next day act like a two-year-old because they didn't get their way, or they're so consumed with their own power and their own self-greed and their own self-worth that they don't care about anybody else's self-worth, then you're going to create this chaotic transition that Cy is pointing out. I agree with you, Cy, because that's the thing. We don't have leadership. What we have is failed so-called leadership, because we continue allowing these same people to lie over and over and over again. And as we mentioned last night, you know, we've got some great examples of that. DJ Young, Shamont Mayfield, for those who know him from Louisville, he's in West Louisville, born and raised, the 39th of Market, grew up on the streets. This guy spends a hell of a lot of time working with youth, put out a commercial he paid for and everything else, you know, and he raises the question, what's so different now? Because some lady got beat up, what's so different about black people beating ourselves up? It's here. It isn't going anywhere anytime soon. And he's right. Because we got people like Jaywan Taylor, who is sitting out there, a 14-year-old, who is begging these guys, begging leadership, come to Beecher Terrace and walk through here. But nobody's going to talk to you in that suit. That's the whole thing. They want to go in there and act like they're somebody, but they're not. Everybody's living to get shot. If you live through that, you're the man on the street. I mean, that's crazy. And a 14-year-old Jaywan Taylor told WFPL, the only way young people can work into the public conversation or feel included is through violence. There's no more talking. We've said all we can say. We've tried all we can try. So we turn to violence. When we act out and show out, that's the only time they reach out to us. It's incredible. DJ Young asked the question, why did you invest in cameras when we're telling you we need activities? You're trying to make all those other people and all those nice cars feel safe when they come downtown. That's it. You're just trying to keep the money down there. You're not ready to help anybody. You're helping yourself before you help anybody else. He's right. He is absolutely 100% right. $227,000 to install the camera equipment. What can you do with $227,000 in the West End community for activities or anything else to give these kids something else to hope for? We give Walmart tax money to come in and build a new Walmart. Why don't we put that tax money in the West End community and small business or something like that? Give people more opportunities. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You know, comment in the chat room. You know, it's a cheap excuse when I was talking about, you know, the violence is the only way that the kids can get the adults to acknowledge them. You know what? I would anticipate, or I would say this in answer to that. When the problem first came around, yes. But again, this is a problem that's decades old. This isn't a problem that just recently popped up. This is a problem that's been covered up for many, many, many years. So it's no longer a cheap excuse to a lot of these young teens that are doing this stuff today. It's their reality. Perception is reality, folks. Whatever you perceive your world to be is exactly what it's going to be. No matter what. So these kids that are out there, Jaywan Taylor, for example, making that statement at 14 years old, he grew up, one, that's all he heard. Two, he's right, that's all he's seen. You know, that's the stuff. That's the stuff. All right? You know, and well, to follow up with that, here's another comment. I did stupid stuff because I was submitting to urges and lacked self-control. The adults were never a consideration. You're right. But you know what? When my kids did stupid stuff because they lacked self-control, this adult jerked a knot in their ass and let them know it wasn't acceptable. They learned to control their urges a little bit better. These kids today are running around without any adult leadership at all, at all levels. But when you look at a West End community versus an East End community, you know, then you've got a situation here that permeates this, that creates this mentality. We spend all our money making sure the East End is a lily white community. No doubt about it. We told the West End back in the 60s to fend for yourself. No doubt about it. We've allowed that mentality. So the kids that we're talking about, most of these troubled youth, are, if you will, as much as I hate to use the term, are, if you will, victims of their own environment. This is all they've known from the time they started growing up, from babies. Now remember, when you're born, you're a sponge. You learn your behavior. You learn what's acceptable and what's not. Nobody's born a racist. I don't think anybody's born a murderer. Somewhere along the line, you learn those behaviors. And that's the problem. And that's where we are all dropping to the ground. It's not just the parents, folks. The parents have the largest amount of blame here, in my opinion, because the parents are the first adults these children will see, whether it's parents or an immediate family member, like a grandparent, aunt, uncle. It's the first adult you're going to see. That person has a responsibility to the child of their family. It does take a village. We've had help along the way with ours. But we have created this panicked society for at least the last two generations. Parents are, A, scared to be parents, scared to whomp their kids' ass if they do something wrong because they're scared they're going to get in trouble. Or Child Protective Services is going to come in their kid based on somebody else's lie, take their kids away from them. they have become selfish and self-centered. Nobody stays married anymore. The divorce rate in this country is over 50% now. If you think that's bad, these people can't work out their problems in their marriage, but they go out and they remarry or produce more kids. And your second marriage's divorce rate is about 83%, and it gets worse in your third one. That's why you should sit back and work on your marriage. Really, truthfully, you should work on your marriage, the person you married. You should be spending your quality time with them, because now we've got a whole society built on second, third, fourth, fifth marriages, if marriage is even an option. You've got a revolving door for men and women out of these children's lives. They don't see anything concrete. This is a society problem, because this is what the adults have come to here. They don't see any concrete morals and values or ethics or anything else. Mama's a single mama. She goes to work and she lives on welfare. But single mama's the first one down at the courts if daddy gets a little bit behind on his child support. But daddy should never be behind on his child support because he's got a financial obligation to that kid. But daddy knows mama's spending that money going out to the bars every weekend and bringing home a new guy every week that's going to be around his child. She's not spending the money on the welfare of that child. Now, those are extreme examples, but they're real-life examples. They're constant examples, and it works the other way. Moms and dads get divorced, dads get custody because moms don't want responsibility anymore. Never have I seen a time in history like I'm seeing today where a woman does not want to care for their child and don't want custody for anything other than money. That percentage is growing larger. You think I'm lying? Look around your community. You're going to see more and more single dads, and moms aren't held to the same standard. Moms aren't held to the standard of coming in and looking at custody and trying to get custody of their children. No. You can keep the kids. They're not being held accountable to the same standard for child support reasons. They're not being held accountable to the same standard of visitation. So you got moms having a revolving door of different men coming in and around their children or taking off every weekend, screwing around. And the same thing with the dads when they've got the custody. Where is the consistency for this child? Where is it? When you go to the altar and you get married, you're not thinking when you go to that altar and you get married and you have that smile on your face, you're not smiling because you're planning on a divorce tomorrow. You're smiling because you feel in love with the person you just married. You're smiling because that honeymoon night is going to be something great in most cases. That's a man's view. Thank you. But somewhere along the line, when it becomes a struggle, you don't think about those kids. You don't think about the future together. You don't think about all of those things. What you think about is selfish. Well, I'm just not happy. I'm not happy because I have to go to work every day. And all my money is going towards bills and making sure a roof over their head and all of those things. That's my damn money. I should be able to go out and do what I want to do. A kid's not capable of understanding that mindset. All that kid sees is his mom or his dad walking out. And the person who's making that decision don't care about anybody or anything but themselves. So until we're willing to look at the base problem here, and the loss of values in our moral compass, in our society, in the way that we regard everything, we have become a selfish, self-centered, manipulative, all about me, I could care less about you society. Now I know there's going to be a lot of people out. I don't run around with people like that. Bullshit. My husband was abusive. He wouldn't talk to me. Guess what? Maybe you didn't get him to talk to you. Or maybe he tried to talk to you, but you didn't want to talk because you didn't like what you were hearing. God forbid something could be someone else's fault. When in relationships do we start worrying about and keeping score about who's right and who's wrong? Now, I'm not talking about physical abuse here, folks. If you're in that relationship, you need to get the hell out. You need to shoot the son of a bitch. That's the truth. And there are as many women beating up men today. In fact, research is starting to suggest that the number of men who are physically abused by women is almost equal to that the opposite way. We might do a show on that one night. But you want to know where our kids are lost at? And once you learn this behavior, then you're going to pass it on to the next generation because you don't know any better. You think I'm not talking from experience? You're wrong. My mom walked out, gave my dad custody, and this was my stepfather. I wasn't officially adopted until I was 16 years old. That wasn't his fault. He became disabled when they split up. Didn't have the money to do it officially. As soon as he did, we did. But my mom walked out when I was a young kid at 12 years old. Told me I was a no good son of a bitch, didn't want to see me no more. Walked out on me and three brothers. Think women don't do it? They do. I know firsthand. My dad became disabled 3 months later. You think it didn't affect my life? It affects everyone's life in that situation. And my mom was never happy. She wasn't happy till the day she died. She was never satisfied or happy with herself because since she wasn't happy with herself, there was nothing around her that would make her happy. It's a choice. She chose to be that person that was selfish and all about them, always seeking something than what she had. As kids, you think we didn't learn anything from that? Sure we did. I fight every day to keep my marriage. Some days I'm losing the battle. Some days I'm winning. But never once has it ever crossed my mind to walk out on my marriage. My kids are adults now. But I would never leave my marriage because there's this thing called morals, ethics, and values. Oh, yeah, a little thing called love. But so many kids today don't have anybody that dedicated on either side. On either side. When we look at these single-parent households, this is what we get. When one parent abandons the household, the other parent doesn't do anything about it either. They don't. And that's the problem. Until we are willing to address our own failings as human beings, as parents, as adults, as leaders, how in the hell are we going to fix a problem? Our kids desperately need somebody to do for them. They desperately need somebody to stand up and just say no. No. How many times do you see one of these kids end up on TV that have done something horrible and committed a crime? They've killed somebody. They've robbed somebody. Or what about the kids that get shot by the police? How often do we see one of these criminals get killed, whether it's by the police or whether it's by somebody else, due to their own bad choices? And the first thing you see these no-good parents sitting out there doing is trying to get their 15 minutes of fame on TV. My poor baby'd never do that. They would really try to get their life together. They've been a drug addict for 10 years. And they got clean a week ago, and they're really getting their life together. There was no reason to kill them. How many times do we have to see that kind of a story? to realize that we've got a serious breakdown in this so-called adult leadership. Well, yeah, chat room is probably right. Shades of Trayvon. Yeah, Trayvon's one example. Michael Newby is another example. This was years ago. Officer Mattingly ruined his career. He's doing an undercover drug bust. Michael went to PRP High School. Was in trouble for drugs and everything else. My kids went to the same school at the same time he was there. They knew all about him. He's out there, makes a payoff to the cop, and then tries to reach in the window and steal the drugs back. The cop's ready to arrest him and trying to arrest him. He decides to take off and shoot at him. But my baby was going to be a veterinarian. He was cleaned up. He was straightened up his life. No, he wasn't. He was a crook. He was going to be a crook. He was always going to be a crook and ended up dead from his own stupid decisions. What did you as a parent, what did you as a high school administrator, what did you do as a society to help this young man make better choices before he got there? That's the discussion. And you know what? Nobody wants to have it. Why? Because nobody likes to feel guilty about anything. Nobody likes to admit that they have made mistakes. Nobody likes to say, hey, we're sorry, please forgive us, and then work to correct those mistakes at any level. At any level. Today we see kids being born as a means of getting a paycheck, either through some rich sugar daddy, because he's got a good job, or through the system so they don't have to work and do anything and earn anything. This isn't a new situation either, folks. This is becoming a more common problem because this behavior was taught from a previous generation. You want to know why some people never break out of the welfare mindset? It's because they don't know any other mindset. Nobody cares. You become dependent on the government for your food and your daggone roof over your head, your very way of life. You've got a problem. You can't afford to lose anything because you don't know how to do for yourself. It's the truth. It's the truth. And I tell you, nobody wants to have that discussion. They really don't. I'm going to put a link in the chat room real quick. So hopefully you guys will jump in here and grab it. This is a great story I ran across today. It's from the American Thinker. It's an excellent story in comparing poverty. And we're going to talk about that when we get back to close the show. We've actually got to do a quick break. So stick around, folks. We'll be right back. Listen to the Ed Springer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
are back. Thanks for sticking with us, folks. There's still a couple of minutes left if you want to make a quick call, or you guys in the listening queue, just hit that number one on your dial pad. But, you know, I tell you, I don't usually do shows like this. You guys know better. We usually try to go through the news, try to talk about politics. But I tell you, what you really have to understand about life is today's youth is tomorrow's future. And that's the truth. The trouble that we're seeing now in our politics were from the people who are raising these people, these leaders today. You think about this. Back in the 60s, you had all this peace, love, save the whales, open sex, free sex, drugs everywhere you wanted to take. That is when we really started the no responsibility generation. That's where it really started at. And each generation since has went steadily downhill when it comes to morals, ethics, and values. You look at the elected leaders of today. They're children of the 60s, for the most part. I'm a child of the 60s. Born in 1963, I'm 53 years old. I'm sorry, I'm 50 years old. See, when you get my age, you start losing your memory. But you think about this, and think about your leadership. Your leadership, including your president, in most cases are younger than me. Oh, you have the occasional old guys like Mitch McConnell and those guys there. But really, let's look at it. The age of the elected leaders at a national level are between the ages of 40 and 55, the majority. Children of the 60s. What do you think they learned? When we let the hippies take over and the liberals take over in the 60s, we forgot our moral compass. And we're paying for it today, and it's just getting worse. You think half of these politicians that are getting caught these days with graft, greed, and corruption and taking buyouts and everything else, this is not a way of life for them? Do you think most of those guys just do that one time and feel guilty about it? No, or they wouldn't go do it again, right? They didn't learn from their bad behavior. We still have to hold these adults accountable. And that's the problem with society. And it starts from the time that child is conceived. That child should never, ever be alone. Never be raised by a single parent. Unless one of the parents is physically abusive. Or a tragedy ends that parent's life. But our kids today do not have the standard yin and yang, if you will, a mother and a father. They don't have that contrast. Kids today are used as pawns to either get more money or for the adult supervisor of this child, because I'm reluctant to call most of these people parents, not all. Or the adult supervisor of this child uses that child as a tool to get what they want for whatever reason. It is about them, not the child. I got married young. I had kids young. Will my marriage survive? I can't tell you. I can't tell you that. I can tell you this. The day that I got married, I took the vows for better or worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and health, until death do you part. When I say my words, I mean them. When I make my commitment, I should say. Well, everybody argues you to say words you don't mean. But when I make a commitment, I stand by my commitment. That's why we have LouisvillePolitics.com. That's why we have this radio show. Because I made a promise when I ran for office a few years ago that I was going to keep involved and make a difference. And a few months after I left, after I lost that election, I was reminded of that by two people I didn't know, but who had paid attention to my candidacy, remembered me, walked up to me. We haven't heard anything from you since you ran for office. You said you were going to make a difference. How are you accomplishing that? And I realized I made that commitment. So when I got married, I made a commitment to my wife for life. That will always be there for me. I can't speak for my wife. That's her decision. Hopefully she feels the same way. When we brought kids into this world, our commitment was to raise them to the best of our ability and to be there to help make them better people. Are my kids perfect? No. Name one that is. But their hearts are pure. And if you needed anything from either one of them, they would give it to you. I know this because I continually get complimented on that, even though they are adults now. You have to make the commitment to make a difference. You have to make a commitment to love not only yourself, but to love your neighbor. You have to make a commitment to love these children. As an adult, you have to make a commitment to lead by example. There is no such thing as do as I say. It's do as I do. And it's that example that will make it a better place. And hopefully, we can save some of our kids from the life they're headed towards. And then the next generation will be better. And then the one after that will be better. We created this mess ourselves as adults. And until we are willing to address the fact that we have failed, and until we're willing to address the fact that no child should be left behind, and I don't mean that as a campaign slogan, and I don't mean that for the school system, I mean that for life. Every child deserves the best opportunity that we as a society can create for them. And we don't do that by making them a welfare society by ignoring a whole segment of a daggone city and leaving them to poverty and ruination and letting the slugs and drugs and thugs take over. We do that by showing them a better way of life. We do that by empowering their mind that they can achieve greatness if they're willing to put forth the work. And we hold them accountable to their mistakes. But we also make sure they know they're forgiven for their mistakes. And we help them make better decisions. And that applies at every walk of life in any relationship, whether it's an adult child or adult. It's time to get involved. We've had enough. So look in that mirror tonight, folks, and ask yourself what you're really, really doing to better your children, your relationships, your family, your neighborhood, and your city and your community. Start with a child. That's all we got for tonight, folks. Tomorrow night, Dale the Truth will be here at 7 o'clock, and I'll be here, of course, live. We'll get into a few national issues. I won't spend a whole show doing this, I assure you. I appreciate you guys listening. It's very rare that I get the opportunity to rant, if you will. And I appreciate that because the issues we talked about tonight are serious issues, and I hope in my heart that some of you guys take it serious and it makes a difference in your life. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night at 7, same time, same channel, and we will talk to you then. Take care. Have a blessed evening.